Lord willing, we'll finish up chapter 3 tonight, and we'll move on into chapter 4 next week. Well, actually, not next week. Today is the 25th. Next week will be a time when our assistants and some of the young men will be preaching. We'll have a Wisdom Wednesday night next week, and everyone will be in here, and I've already made that announcement to the group so everyone knows, and so next week is a special time, and I like to hear from the others, and I enjoy hearing from them, and I know you do as well. So you pray for them, our assistants, and some of the assistants will speak, and some of the young men that's been called will speak. We'll all meet in here next week. So you remember that next week, next Wednesday night. This Sunday is Youth Sunday, and Pastor David will be preaching Sunday morning, Pastor Brandon Sunday night, and I always look forward to our Youth Sunday. We have a fine group of young people, and I always enjoy hearing from them, as well as from those who work with our youth and our young people. James chapter number 3. We're going to begin our reading in verse number 13. James chapter 3, in verse number 13. Once you find your place, you can stand to your feet, and we'll read verse 13 through verse number 18. James chapter number 3, we'll read verse 13 through verse number 18. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. I like that term. It's one of the few times that that term is used in the Bible. Meekness of wisdom. Meekness is power under control, and wisdom is knowledge under control. It's the proper control of knowledge, and meekness is the proper control of power. And when you put those two together, you have a wise man. And I pray that God would help us to live our lives and conduct ourselves with meekness of wisdom. Verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for the reading of the Word of God, and thank you for your Word. I pray as we look into your Word this evening that you would give us some things that would help us to exercise wisdom in our lives, to live a life of meekness of wisdom. We pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that I would be a Spirit-filled preacher, and that these that have come tonight would be Spirit-filled students of your Word, Spirit-filled listeners. Help us each one to listen to the still small voice of your Holy Spirit as your word is given this evening, and draw us closer to you. Do that work that is most needful in every heart here tonight. We will thank you for it because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Last week, if you'll remember, we talked a little bit about Mr. Otherwise. Remember, we were talking about Mr. Wise and Mr. Otherwise. Mr. Otherwise, well, that's the wisdom that's not from above. That's this earthly wisdom. Notice what the scripture says here in verse number 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above. So there is a wisdom that is not a godly wisdom. Verse number 17 says, but the wisdom that is from above. So there's a contrast. Now, there's three things that James contrasts here about wisdom, and we've looked at some of them, but I want to point out just a couple, and then I want to give you a few more, and we'll be through with this section of Scripture. If you'll notice, first of all, we talked about this last week, is that contrast between the earthly and the heavenly wisdom. There is a wisdom that is natural and a wisdom that is spiritual. Notice what James says here when he talks about the origin of these wisdoms, okay? The origin of the wisdom that is of the earth, he gives us a little detail on it in verse number 15. He said, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly. In other words, it's from the natural resource. It's from what this earth, as far as the mind of the world. It's the wisdom that man has adopted. It's a wisdom that and there is a progression here, okay? If you'll notice, he said, first of all, it's earthly. It's something that the world looks at. And they say, well, it's wise to do this. Well, the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto man. And so there's a lot of things that men look at and say, well, you know, that's the way, that's right. That's the way it ought to be, you know. And he even begins to identify that, and we'll see that in just a moment. But he says, so it's earthly. And then he said this in verse number 15. He says, it's not only earthly, it's sensual. Now that word sensual, when you begin to look at it, it's the word we get our word psyche or psychic or psychology. It's a word that's opposite from spiritual. It's natural. When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and it says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, it's talking about the natural-minded man, that is earthly, that is natural, that comes from when the man was born with an Adamic nature. It's the way that thinks against God. And so here's a wisdom that says exactly the opposite of what God says. Let me give you a couple of illustrations. What does God say? God says in order to get, you what? You give. You think the world thinks that way? No. That's not the way the world thinks. The world says in order to get, you what? You keep. You get and you keep. That's not what God said. God said, if you'll give, it'll be given unto you. See, the world doesn't understand that. So the world doesn't understand stewardship, not scriptural stewardship. The world doesn't understand faith promise missions. The world doesn't understand tithing. The world doesn't understand charitable giving. Now, the world will give, but it's not from the same wisdom that Christians give. It's not from a biblical perspective. And so that's the way the world said. The world has a whole different set of values, a whole different set of ways of doing things. And it's just like to be first, what did God say? Be last. But that's not what the world says. That's not the world's wisdom. The world's wisdom is climb over, kick off the ladder, do whatever you've got to do to get to the top. Cheat people. Steal, right? Slander, whatever you've got to do. Look out for yourself. That's the world's motto. Looking out for number one. Well, everybody's always running around doing this, right? Yeah, boy, number one, number one. Jesus is number one. Amen? We're a long way from number one, brethren. Can I tell you, we're not even number two. And so we need to get the story straight on who we are. And so there's an earthly wisdom that says, you know, be you. Don't let anybody change you. Well, I'm constantly needing change. I want God and His Word to constantly be operative in my life, bringing change in my life. And so here, earthly, sensual, which means natural. And then notice this, devilish. I don't have to tell you what that means. So you see, this goes all the way back. Now listen carefully to me. This is that wisdom that James said that's not from above. Goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Remember the wisdom that Eve was given there? You'll be as gods. You'll be like God. You don't need God. You can make your own decisions. See, that's the world's way of thinking. That's the world's. You don't need the church, the Bible, the preacher, God, prayer. You don't need faith. You don't need those things. You possess all it takes, they say. We heard from our brother in our prayer time where the lady had the tag, we are God. No, we're not God. We are God's creation. And we that are saved are God's children. But we are not God. See, that's the devil. That mindset is of the devil. That's of the spirit of Antichrist. And it's in our world today, and it's becoming more and more prevalent. And so there is a wisdom that says man can do it without God. And that spirit, that mindset is creeping in to churches, into homes of Christians, and saying, you can do it. Brethren, Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. You believe that? Now with him, we can do all things because he strengthens us. Is that what the scripture teaches? So here it is, this earthly wisdom. Now let's take a look. Just for sake of those of you, go back to Genesis 3 and notice what he said. Go back there with me. Hold your place here. Notice what the serpent told Eve. He said, basically in verse number 4, he said, God doesn't know what he's talking about. He said, you'll die. I'm telling you, you'll not surely die. And then he said in verse number 5, he said, for God doth know that in the day, Genesis 3 verse 5, in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You can be a god. Isn't that the way the world thinks today? Live independently from God. Don't make decisions based upon scripture. Don't make decisions based upon faith and truth. If it feels good, if it feels right, they say, do it. Huh? Situation ethics, relativity. If it feels right, do it. Hey, listen, that's the spirit of Antichrist. There's no guarantee if it feels right that it is right. Actually, a lot of times, if it feels right, it's probably wrong. I didn't say every time. I said many times. You have to pray and see what God would have. Line it up. Now, where does our wisdom come from? Well, before we get to that, turn to Romans chapter 1. We'll come back to James and we'll find out. We're not getting wisdom from the world. I want to tell you something. If you're a parent here tonight, and I would to God that this building was filled 50 times over, 1,000 times over, with parents that would understand something. If you send your children to a public school system, you beware of this person, the guidance counselor. Watch out now. Watch out. Guidance counselor. You watch that. That usually means drug distributor and someone who's going to tell your children that they have a problem and the only thing that'll cure it's a drug. And they're going to try to tell you that you don't need to reprimand your children. I know about guidance counselors. I'm not saying that all of them are of the devil, but you watch that. Let me tell you who the guidance counselor is. He's found in Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 6. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. You let him be your guidance counselor. Say amen with me. You beware of that stuff. They'll have your children on 3 or 4 drugs and have them reporting you if you even raise your voice at them, let alone touch them with a spanking. Well, I'm afraid if I spank my children, they'll take them, preacher. Well, I can't tell you what to do, but I can tell you what Sharon and I did. We took that chance. Amen. Amen. No government person going to tell me how to raise my children. Say amen now. The government's place is not to run our homes, brethren. Now, I'm not standing up here being political on you. I will say this, y'all to vote November 7th. Amen. But now listen to me. It's not the government's place to run the home. We are to run our home by what this book right here says. And so don't you let some guidance counselor get their greedy paws on your child. They won't talk to your child. Tell them to call you so you can sit in on it. Amen. Listen to me now. Wisdom, I'm giving you some wisdom that's from above. Don't you let folks be sitting down with your children without your presence there. Amen. Know where it's coming from and know the direction that they're going in. Very few things come out of that situation. Guidance counselor. I sit across from one a few times in my young days. I've got some stories I could tell you, but that's for another time. And that was way back yonder. Not as long back as Miss Putz, but it was back there a while. Amen. Well, Timmy's not here, and I just thought I'd throw that in for him. Amen. Romans chapter 1. What happens when the world, when a group of people, when a society, when a culture says, you know what? We're going to go the way of the world. We're going to listen to this earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom. Well, God says this is what will happen to that generation. This is what will happen to that society of people. In Romans 1, we'll just pick up reading here in verse number 21. It said, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Now watch it. And their foolish heart was darkened. Goes on to say, professing themselves. Now, it's not that God said they were wise. See, James uses this phrase, who is a wise man among you? Well, they didn't, listen, they didn't get God's counsel on who's wise. They took it upon themselves, we're wise. Professing, Paul said here in Romans 1, professing themselves to be wise. My, aren't we living in that day? They became as fools. Why? Because they did not like, if you'll look on down, and I could read this, but I won't, you've read it. In verse number 28 it says, they didn't even want to retain God in their knowledge. We don't need God. See, this is that spirit of Antichrist from Genesis chapter 3, brethren. This is that wisdom that's not from above. And so be mighty careful about people who try to tell you how life ought to be done and how things ought to be done that's independent of God. You know now that's not wisdom that's from above. And so he mentions these things, and all of these things, you read it sometime. It not only tells us the origin of this wisdom, but it tells us the operation and the outcome of this wisdom right here in Romans 1. It's sad, but we're living it, aren't we? We're living it. Now I want you to go back to James chapter number 3, and we see where not only do we have this contrast to where there's this wisdom that descendeth not from above in verse 15, but we have this wisdom that is from above. Now, this wisdom that's not from above, we've seen its origin. It's right out of the pit of hell. He spawned it right there in the garden. And here we are today, the spirit of Antichrist, a wisdom that says we don't need God and we can do things independent of God. But there is a wisdom that says we do need God and we will listen to God. Where does our wisdom come from? Well, the Bible says that our wisdom comes from the Son of God, doesn't it? It does. Turn, if you would, again to Colossians chapter number 2, and we'll see what Paul said to the church at Colossae. He said that our wisdom is in Christ. He is our wisdom. Colossians chapter 2. Turn there, if you would. Now, there's other scriptures, but for sake of time, we'll just look at this one. You can write these scriptures down. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says that Christ is our wisdom. He's our wisdom. Notice here in Colossians chapter 2, look at verse number 3. It's speaking of Christ, and it says this about Christ. It says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You looking at it? You seeing what God said? See, this is where our wisdom is. Your wisdom's not in yourself. It's not in another man. It's in Christ. Christ is our wisdom. Christ is our wisdom. Where else is our wisdom? Well, we can find it right here in Colossians. There's other places, but in Colossians chapter 3, look at verse number 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. The word of God is our wisdom. The Bible also teaches that the Spirit of God is our wisdom. And so we need to get wisdom from these godly sources, not the ungodly sources. So as we go back, we see the origin in this contrast of wisdom, this wisdom that's not from above. Well, it comes from the world system, which is sensual, which means natural, which is devilish. And of course, that's where the root, that's the very origin of that kind of wisdom. It's opposed to God. And then there's the wisdom that is of God. There's the wisdom that's found in His Son. There's the wisdom that's through His Spirit. And there's the wisdom that is in His Word. And we need to read the Word of God that we may be a wise man. It says here in verse number 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? You want to be wise? Spend time in this book right here. Amen? Many times when we turn to Proverbs chapter 3, and I'm going to ask you to do that, almost immediately people go to verse 5 and 6. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3 just for a moment. And certainly verse 5 and 6 is probably a very well-known couple of scriptures out of this. But if you look at verse number 13, you'll find where I think is the key verse to Proverbs chapter 3, if not the whole book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 13 says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom." You found it? Not Proverbs 3:13, but wisdom. You see, I think I'm just going to lay at home and wait for God to pour it on me. It doesn't happen that way. You got to go on a quest, a search. You got to dig in this book and get before your face before God and admit, "God, I don't have anything. I am nothing without you. I need your wisdom. I can't do this thing called life, called pastoring, called parenting, called working, whatever you do in life. God, I can't do it without your wisdom. I need your wisdom. God, give me wisdom." Who is a wise man among you? It's a man who will humble himself and realize all that he is or ever will be depends on the goodness and the grace of God. You want to be happy in life? You want to be blessed? Proverbs 3 verse 13 says, if you will find wisdom, you'll find the key to life. And not only that, it says in verse number 13, it says, "And the man that getteth understanding." That's where it's at. Now let's go back to James 3, and that's where we'll close tonight. So what about that wisdom? How does that wisdom work? Well, we know how the wisdom that's not from above works, remember? Remember? Verse number 14, bitter envying, strife. Look what he said in verse number 14, glorying. He said glory, now that's boasting. You know what happens when you get around a person that's got a little self-indulged wisdom? They want to tell you about it. They boast all the time. They're always boasting. Do you know in the last days, if you'll read 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says that men will be boasters. Always talking about, you know, you look at these performers and these athletes, you can't, listen, the first 5 seconds of an interview with them, the word "I" will come out 10 times. "I this, I that, I. Well, we know where that spirit's from. Bitter envying and strife in your hearts. You see it in chapter 3, verse 14. Glory not. In other words, don't be boastful. Brethren, I stand before you today, and I can say with a honest heart, all that I am or ever hope to be is because God's been good to me. God's been gracious to me. I pray that you would realize that yourself. God, help us to remain humble. The Bible says humble yourselves. Don't make God humble you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That's what this man said, and we'll get to that eventually. He also, look at it if you would, he said not only that this wisdom that's not from above, not only is it bitter envying and strife and boasting, but he said it's deceitful. Lie not against the truth. That's deceit. Why? Well, remember what we said the word strife meant? It's the word that's used in connection with a politician. In other words, I got to tear everything down so I can build myself up. I got to lie. I got to boast about myself and lie about everybody else so I'll look good. Isn't that what he's saying here? So that's the way the world does things. Now, don't you let that creep in your life, because it can. See, the world's wisdom, I think, was best seen collectively at the Tower of Babel. You know, we still call it babbling. When somebody just, just babbling on, right? We still call it just babbling. What are they? That is babbling. Still call it that. What are they doing? They just saying a lot to say nothing. What happened? What happened there? Man's wisdom. Let us do this. And God just looked down and laughed. and said, "What fools!" And what did it bring? Confusion. Notice here in verse number 16. "For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." This is what the world's wisdom will get you now. The world's wisdom. Confusion in every evil work. Now let's turn to the positive. What about we as Christians? Now that you say, "Well, I'm glad I would never do that." Well, I hope you don't. But now listen, this is open. We're open to this. Right? See, if we're not careful, we'll let the devil slip a substitute. He's always trying to counterfeit what God has done and can do in our lives. And he wants us to take hold of the world's wisdom and do things the way the world does it instead of the way the Bible and God says do it. And if we're not careful, we'll fall into that and we'll accept it and we'll start doing things the way the world does things. Now, as a Christian, don't you do things the way the world does them. Usually if the world's doing it, it's wrong. High percentage of the time. Find out what God says. Get the wisdom from the Word of God. Let's look at it. Let's look at it in verse number 17. "But the wisdom that is from above." Now here's the wisdom we need. Here's the wisdom I seek. Here's the wisdom that's going to be good for your life. He said, first of all, it's pure. Amen. It leads to right doing. It leads to holiness. It leads to honoring God. See, the wisdom that's from above leads to that is not God-honoring. The wisdom that's not from above, rather, is not God-honoring. But the wisdom that is from above, it's pure. First, notice what he said here. First, it's pure. You don't have to scheme, right? Listen, if you've got to scheme, it's wrong. I didn't say plan. Planning's good. Scheming, on the other hand, if you have to scheme to get something across or manipulate, listen to me now, stay away from it. That's not of God. He said it's first pure, then peaceable. We live in a world that says, well, you know, peace at all costs. Sometimes folks expect me to pastor that way. Well, I'm not that kind of pastor. I'm not gonna have peace at all costs. Because the Bible says, first pure. See, that's wisdom. You get concerned about what's right, and God will bring peace. Amen. See, we need to be more concerned about holiness than happiness. You get the holiness part right, the happiness will follow. That's what the Bible says. First pure, then peaceable. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we ought not strive for peace. Here the Bible says the right kind of wisdom will bring about peace. How is that? Well, men says, well, in order to have peace, you got to cover sin. But God says if you cover your sin, you're not going to prosper. Right? And so what do some do? Well, they say, well, you know, in order to keep down division and in order to have peace, we just kind of have to overlook sin. Well, God says you can't do that. You got to learn how to have balance in your spirit. You got to know how to balance justice and mercy. And we're going to see this here in just a moment. But you can't sweep sin under the rug and say, well, now that's going to bring peace. No, it's not. It may prolong and give a temporary peace, but eventually there's going to be war. There's going to be great disappointment when sin is covered. So what do? God says, if you'll confess sin, if you'll confront sin, God has said, I'll keep the peace. Is that what he said, brethren? First pure, then peaceable. So it's not peace at any cost now. That's not what we're after. We're not at peace for any cost. We don't want to be contentious. We want to be compassionate, but we want to understand God's way. Notice what he said. That wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable. Then look what he said here, gentle. I like what one man said about this word. He said that word means sweet reasonableness. I like that. You know, sometimes as Christians, we just need to be reasonable. Now, notice again, gentle. Now, gentleness does not mean weakness. Sometimes people mistake the pastor's gentleness for weakness. And they say, well, the preacher is not going to confront sin. No, the preacher is trying to be patient like God. So don't test the preacher's patience. And don't mistake his gentleness for weakness. Amen. And say, well, I'll just continue on, and then I will just call you out. Because God has made me the shepherd of the sheep, and I am not going to sweep it under the rug. So please do not mistake patience for covering. I like to give people patience and time for repentance and change. Don't you? Amen. And so he says, if you want to be a wise man, this would be a good parental thought here. Sometimes as parents, we have to exercise wisdom in dealing with our children's shortcomings. And it would behoove us not to fly off every time they do something wrong. Give them opportunity to learn from their mistakes and correct them on their own before we have to approach them. But now if they insist, then you have to do what I often told my children. Now look what you've done gone and made me do. Amen. Because your actions has brought this on. And so sometimes people, because of people being forgiving and compassionate, will mistake that gentleness that wisdom brings. Look at it here in verse number 17. He says that wisdom that is from above, it's pure. It's concerned about what's right, but it's peaceable. It doesn't want to go to war over every little thing. You choose your battles, right? Peaceable. Pure. He said gentle in verse number 17. Gentle. Sweet reasonableness. I like it. Now, it doesn't mean compromise. It means moderation without compromise. You can be stern and still be gentle. That's right. Full of mercy. You know, when you're reading the scripture, well, I skipped the phrase there in verse 17, easy to be entreated. That means a person, when they're using God's wisdom, will allow other voices. Now listen carefully to me. Here's where a lot of people, and God's helping me. Sometimes we have to grow into this. Sometimes people are stubborn and hard-headed. You probably don't know anyone like that. But sometimes other people can be. Amen? Amen. Stubborn and hard-headed. And they won't listen. No, I'm going to do it this way. Why? Why have I always done it this way? Well, that's no reason to do something a certain way. What does God say? And sometimes we can get tradition, or we can get the way we've always done it, or the way we've always heard it. We can get it mixed up in the way of what God said. And so when this scripture says here that wisdom, watch it now, that wisdom that is above, notice what it says now. You want to have this kind of wisdom. Who's a wise man? Who's going to allow this kind of wisdom into their life? I want that in my life, and I believe you do. If you want to, listen to what it says now. Here's what it says. If you want God's wisdom, first it's got to be pure. It's got to be sincere now. Pure, got to be concerned about what's right. Number two, it has to be peaceable. Then third, it has to be gentle, and then it's easily to be entreated. In other words, it'll sit and listen. It'll at least come to the table and hear the other side. Not stubborn. I'm not going to do it. Well, there's some things I'm not going to negotiate. Amen. You don't negotiate the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Say amen. You don't negotiate the blood of Christ, the virgin birth, the second coming, the deity of Christ, the sinless life of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. Those are not for negotiation. That's not what I'm talking about. But there are some things that are preferential, that people prefer. And that's where it's good for a group of people to come together, and it's okay to come around the table and listen. You take bus ministry. Brother David comes to me and says, hey, we got a man living down in the Charlottesville area, and this is just something off the top of my head. He and his family want to start a bus ministry in the Charlottesville area. Now, if I'm not using wisdom from above. We need to fill these buses up in Madison and Orange and Culpeper before we start a ministry in Charlottesville. See, that's not easily to be entreated. You come to the table and hear a man out. You hear what he's got to present to you, what God's laid on his heart, right? Right. Just because you're in a position doesn't mean you're not going to listen to people that God has put beside you or with you. You hear them out. You listen to what they're saying. And then you weigh it out and you pray and you go with God. That's easily to be entreated. Remember the older brother that went outside and the father went out and tried to bring him in and tried to entreat him, and he was angry and would not go in. He had already made his mind up what was wrong and said, I'm not going in. I'm not going to sit at the table. Don't be that way. See, that's the earth's way. That's the world's way of doing things. Sit down with a reasonable spirit, a gentle spirit, and listen. Easily to be entreated. Hear it out. Think it through. Pray about it. And then move forward as God guides. Then he said this, look at it. And I'm talking to you about wisdom from above now. The reason our churches, hear me now, the reason our churches and a lot of homes are in trouble is because this kind of wisdom is not being used. We have people say, well, it's going to be this way. It's going to be my way or trailways. Hit the road, Bucky. Listen, you hear me now. There's not going to be a whole lot of growth in that. There's not going to be a whole lot going on there. Listen to me. That's not God's way. If a dad, if a husband wants this kind of wisdom, he'll learn from this. Amen.
Well, I have you to know, preacher, I'm the head of my home.
Are you? You sure that's not Jesus? The Bible says the head of every man is Christ. Watch out whose wisdom you're using. Amen. Now, he'll let you be the head of your home. And sometimes, yes, I know, your wife lets you be too the head of your home. God bless you. Weakling. Amen. First pure, then peaceable, then gentle, then easy to be entreated. Look at that next phrase, full of mercy. In the Bible, when the word full is used, when it's attached to one of the attributes of God, it normally means controlled by mercy. Can I ask you a question right as we close here tonight? We're talking about wisdom from above. What controls you? Judgment or mercy? Now really think about that. What controls you? Judgment or mercy? See, wisdom that's not from above in verse number 15, judgment. But wisdom that's from above is full, which means controlled. When the Bible talks about being full of the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, it means controlled by. And here when it's talking about full of mercy, it means controlled by mercy. It means not doing unto people as they deserve. See, that's mercy. See, grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. And so mercy means that I'm not going to do to that person what they deserve by law, by justice. I'm going to be merciful to them. And wisdom says, if you're going to be a wise person now, your life's going to have to be controlled by mercy and not judgment. So somebody in the church does wrong. What do you want to do? Be those Pharisees and go and bring them before the church so we can all stone them to death? Is that the way you like to take care of church problems? Let's just stone them to death, preacher. I mean, my goodness. This is the second time they've messed up. Well, aren't you spiritual? Right? Huh? Yeah, that's the way. Listen, a lot of folks in our churches, well, they done messed up once. I mean, I think they've had enough chances, don't you, preacher? Amen. Come on. That's as deep as your spirituality is. Can I tell you what Peter said? Lord, if our brother offend us, seven times. Should we forgive him? Huh? No, Peter. 70 times seven. Peter, be full of mercy. Be gentle. Be meek in wisdom. Learn how to exercise knowledge under control with power under control. Don't let your power go to your head and start off with the head every time somebody does something wrong. Listen, there's a time to confront sin, and there's a time to deal with it, and there's a time to expose it and get it dealt with. But now you be careful that you've exercised God's heavenly wisdom before you do that. Heavenly wisdom. I'm going to finish there tonight. That kind of wisdom brings forth fruit. As I was sitting at my desk today, I had a parable come to my mind. I want you to go home and read this parable after you listen to Curtis Hudson, that's Hutson, saying I'm on the winning side. I want you to look in Matthew chapter 18, verse 24, 25, somewhere in there, through the remainder of the chapter, there's a parable. And this parable is of a creditor and a debtor. And this debtor goes to his creditor and he says, listen, he said, you know, the creditor calls him in and says, look, you need to pay me, you owe me, and I'm just going to tell you it was a boatload. I mean, he owed him like 10,000, all right? And you got to remember, in that little area, they probably only done like 300 a year talents. And he said, you owe me 10,000. Now, the over-exaggeration was on purpose to show how great a debt that this one owed, right? And he says, oh, he said, forgive me. If you'll just give me time, he said, I'll go out and I'll work and I'll do this. He said, no, you're going to have to bring your family in. He said, you're going to have to pay this debt. He said, oh, forgive me. And he begged forgiveness. What happened? Remember? The creditor what? Forgave him all of his debt. He didn't give him, listen, he didn't give him time to get it right. He forgave him all of his debt. Now that's a picture of Christ forgiving us our debt. See, we owed that big enormous debt that was, I mean, astronomical. You couldn't even put it within a realm. Now what did that guy do? Remember? So he goes out and he's not full of mercy. He must have been Baptist. And you know, I'm just saying that. Baptist folks are some of the most gracious people. I'm carrying on a little bit, but I'm going to stop that. Baptist people are some of the most gracious people I've ever met in my life. Now, some of them have teeth. They're mean. Amen. But some of the gracious, kindest, compassionate people I've ever met were good, saved, born-again Baptist folks. But you know what that man did in the parable? He went out and he found somebody that owed him. And the man that owed him just owed him a little compared to what he owed his creditor. And what did the Bible say he done? He grabbed him by the neck. Read it when you get home. He grabbed him by the neck and said, pay me! He said, I don't have it. You know, have mercy on me. And he wouldn't do it. No! I want it now! So that's not a person that's exercising heavenly wisdom. That's not a person that is showing mercy and kindness because mercy and kindness has been shown to them. And so they run out and they exercise a little bit of power that they have because somebody owes them a little something, and they stomp them and beat them down and they threw them into prison. But you know what? The other creditors, the other servants, they didn't like that. And I got to tell you, I don't like it either. I don't like it when I see folks do people that way. You ought not like it either. It ought to bother you when people treat people like they're not people. And always, listen, always looking to find fault instead of show mercy. They went and told the chief creditor, and he called him in. And he threw him into prison. What happened? His life was miserable. He not only lost his happiness here, but he lost his reward in the life to come. Now, don't you do that. Okay? Don't do that. The wisdom that's from above says, show mercy. Show mercy. There's a time when God will tell you, all right, it's time now. You've shown mercy. You've been gracious. Now it's time to drop the hammer. But make sure it's God telling you that and not your spiteful, vengeful self. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Preacher, why did you tell us that? Because I want you to know what it is, and I want to experience what it is to have heavenly wisdom. And heavenly wisdom is first pure, then it's peaceable, and then it's gentle, and then it's easy to be entreated, and then it's full of mercy. That's heavenly wisdom. I pray God give us heavenly wisdom, and I pray that we would learn. That's the kind of wisdom I want my life to be operated by, that kind of wisdom. Listen, don't get on Facebook and find somebody doing something wrong and then run out and rebuke them. Or get on there, yeah, you're just full of trash. Well, sometimes I feel that way when I read some of this stuff. It is trashy. But be careful. Don't let your emotion, and God help me, don't be controlled by emotion. Let's be controlled by God's Holy Spirit. Let's bow our heads together. Well,